Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So today we are going to revisit the recent edition of the ongoing Election Watch publication series and further examine the implications of Election Day outcomes to both risk assets as well as long-term investment themes. And you might recall that last week, Head of Fixed Income America's Tom McLaughlin joined the podcast to discuss the broader publication, though joining me here on the line for the conversation this morning for this deeper dive into positioning is David Lefkowitz. David is the head of equities for the Americas, as well as Michelle LaLiberty, thematic investing associate for the Americas, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, David, Michelle, good morning. Welcome back to the podcast and looking forward to our conversation today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. As our listeners know at this point, the most recent Election Watch publication is titled Preparing Portfolios for November. And Dave, I know the publication outlines a Trump trade and a Biden trade. So to start things off, David, can you walk us through the characteristics of both?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, Dan, in the report, we specify these two concepts, a Trump trade and a Biden trade. And really what we're doing is those correspond to two different potential outcomes from the election. And I think they're to be relatively self-explanatory. In the Trump trade, what we're describing there is a Trump victory for the White House and also the Republicans regaining control of Congress. And then on the Biden trade, it's the same thing, unified Democratic control of both the White House and Congress. So you could also call these sort of a red wave or a blue wave. That's also how we refer to them in the report. So in these scenarios, we think that, first just hitting on the blue wave scenario, I think a potential Biden presidency would be focused on economic recovery. So that means, higher government spending, even though he is likely to pursue and the Democrats are likely to pursue tax increases and some tighter regulations. So we could see stimulus in the form of infrastructure, whether it be transportation or 5G networks. I think there'll be a big emphasis on green energy, and then potentially more healthcare coverage, although we'll see how successful they are in getting that done. We could see higher taxes, both on the corporate side and for higher income earners on the personal side. And then on the regulatory front, we see the biggest risks in terms of regulation, really in terms of fossil fuels. And then for financials, which oftentimes gets a lot of attention, we think any regulatory tightening would be very targeted and not necessarily broad-based. Conversely, in a red wave scenario, we think we would see mostly status quo. Obviously, Trump already is president. So the difference here we're talking about is that the Republicans would regain control of Congress. So we could see some additional stimulus that comes out of that, perhaps on infrastructure, perhaps the extension of the personal income tax cuts. Right now, they're scheduled to sunset in a few years. Those could be extended further, continued deregulation. However, one of the risks here is that we could see a rise in trade tension. So what we did is we also identified stocks that we think would benefit in both a blue wave and red wave scenario. And in the report, those lists of stocks are outlined. I would just highlight one thing, that we do think that infrastructure spending could be a component of both scenarios, both in a red wave or a blue wave scenario. And in that case, some of the beneficiaries of infrastructure spending are on both of those lists. So that's kind of an interesting nuance to consider.
So, David, if we stick with U.S. equities for a moment, how do you anticipate that risk assets will respond in the event of either a red wave or a blue wave outcome scenario?
So in a blue wave scenario, we think that stocks would probably be neutral. In other words, not much of an impact. And I think, the key here is that, yes, there will be higher taxes. and potentially some greater regulation. But I think, especially, you know, given the state of affairs right now with the economy, I think the Democrats, if they had all levers of power, they're going to be keenly focused on getting some of their key initiatives through, and in terms of spending. And we've seen, you know, in recent, you know, really in recent years, that the focus on, or the distaste of deficits has, or deficit, I'm sorry, you know, balanced budgets has really gone away. So, you know, even Trump's tax cuts were deficit financed. If the Democrats hold all levers of power, you know, I think they would not be shy about expanding the deficit to get their policy priorities accomplished. So higher government spending on infrastructure, green initiatives, things like that, which we think would offset any tax increases. We think the corporate tax increases that Biden has laid out would hit S&P 500 profits by about 5%. We think there's spending initiatives that can offset that that would potentially mitigate that. Now, that being said, you know, I think there could be a knee-jerk reaction that stocks may sell off slightly until there's more clarity about, you know, exactly what the policy priorities are for a Biden administration. But net-net, we think it's a neutral scenario. And then on the red wave, you know, it's closer to the status quo. We think it's, but we do think you could get more stimulus and even a further deregulation. So we're saying that's a neutral to positive. The one risk here is that we could see an increase in trade tensions, so that could temper some of the enthusiasm. But bottom line, blue wave, we think it's neutral. Red wave, we think neutral to slightly positive for stocks.
And, of course, there's always the possibility of a divided outcome where we have gridlock in government. How would risk assets respond in that scenario?
I think the main point here is that it's going to be harder to get things done in a divided government, right? It's harder to get, you know, big fiscal stimulus. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, Biden with a split Congress, we think that's neutral to slightly negative. You don't get as much fiscal support, and you probably get increased regulation that the executive branch can pursue. So, you know, that could be slightly negative. And then if you just had Trump with a split Congress, that's basically the status quo that we have right now. So it's largely neutral, but in our view, but we have to watch what happens on the trade front, because we could see some escalation on that, in that area.
Maybe we can pivot over now to some long-term investment themes. And I know, Michelle, within the publication, it outlines those that would benefit from a red wave outcome as well as a blue wave outcome. So perhaps we can take these in order, starting with the red wave outcome. What can you share with us there, Michelle?
Sure. So I think there are a couple of longer-term themes that we believe look well-positioned in the event of a red wave. So earlier this morning, David discussed a little bit about the Trump trade and what we mean by that. From a thematic perspective, though, there are a couple of key points here that are relevant. So first, the regulatory environment. A red wave would most likely lessen the risk of more stringent regulations for the financial sector. And this could help alleviate some of that near-term pressure to sentiment for the sector should we start to hear more rhetoric on the campaign trail, as David, you know, mentioned a little bit about. And, you know, as he said, we typically hear about regulation in a more concentrated sense as it pertains to, you know, maybe large traditional banking companies, you know, too big to fail, or Consumer Protection Bureau comes up now and then. So, you know, in our view, a continuation of the current regulatory environment would remove, you know, one potential headwind. And in this scenario, we do think that the fintech theme looks well positioned. Second point, defense spending. Similar to how financials could see a bit of relief in a red wave scenario, as the potential for harsher regulations is lessened, a red wave scenario would also indicate less risk of a cut to defense spending. And then there's one specific component of defense spending that the Trump administration has increased since taking office in 2016, so space-related spending. In the budget proposal for fiscal year 2019, space-related spending was just over $4 billion. But now, fast forward to the budget proposal for fiscal year 2021, that number has actually grown to $18 billion. So outside of just the budget, the current administration has aimed to expand our capabilities in space. They've even touted a return to the moon, the Space Force, as another example. So overall, you know, we view the Red Wave outcome as a positive for both the space theme as well as FinTech.
So, Michelle, in the event of a Blue Wave outcome, which long-term themes would benefit the most?
Yeah, so in the Blue Wave scenario, perhaps what's most relevant for the longer-term themes are the environmental policy proposals coming out of the Biden campaign. Some of the core elements of Biden's climate proposal are expanding renewable energy generation, improving building efficiency through things like stricter regulations and infrastructure upgrades, building out zero carbon transit systems in large cities, speeding up the adoption of electric vehicles, and the list goes on. So for some specific examples, I mentioned electric vehicles. The plan aims to build out 500,000 new EV charging stations. And for building efficiency, the plan looks to upgrade 4 million buildings with more efficient systems. So those are just a few of those concrete examples that are mentioned in the plan. So not only do these proposals present somewhat of a risk for certain sectors and traditional energy companies, potentially one example, but they can also provide a near-term boost for several of our longer-term themes. So the ones that I would point to specifically are energy efficiency, renewables, and smart mobility. And then one thing I would stress too, and this goes for either scenario, so whether it's a blue wave or a red wave, is that outside of the election drivers, our suite of longer-term themes are grounded in secular growth trends that we expect to play out in the years ahead. So while we might be highlighting some of these themes as tied to certain election scenarios or certain outcomes, it's important to remember that these secular drivers are still intact. So even, for example, if we did see a red wave, that doesn't necessarily mean we don't have a positive longer-term view on those three themes still. So really it comes down to the time horizon here and whether or not we expect to see a near-term boost for these themes coming out of the election.
Maybe as a closing point in terms of putting some of these ideas to work in a portfolio, Michelle, how should investors think about positioning, implementation, leading up to as well as post-election day?
Sure. So I think there's a couple key points regardless of what you think the outcome might be when it comes to positioning. So first, we always stress that your portfolio should be aligned with your goals and your strategic asset allocation that fits your personal spending needs. So one method that we typically point to is the 3L framework. Second, though, diversification. We suggest that you don't get too tied to either outcome. As we saw in 2016, polls aren't always going to indicate the winner, right? The elections are difficult to predict. So for investors looking to position their portfolio according to a specific outcome, actually adding some of the beneficiaries of the opposite outcome can help reduce that downside risk should the election result go the other way. So should the election go the way you positioned for, it's likely that the gains on those assets would outweigh some of the losses on the hedge portion. So again, we always point to diversification as a key tool. As for leading up to election day, we could see some campaign-driven volatility or some volatility regarding the policy rhetoric that we're hearing during election season. Overall, data does indicate that market participants do expect volatility to remain heightened. So for investors who wish to maintain equity exposure without taking outside risk regarding the election outcome as we navigate through these next couple months, we do have some shorter-term, more market-orientated themes that, in our view, look well-positioned. So I'll keep this part short. I won't dive too far into any of these themes. But one, I'd point to campaign warriors. Essentially, this stock was aimed to avoid companies that have outside risk to these major policy changes. So again, this would help maintain equity exposure without taking a position on either side. Two pricing power standouts, in our view, companies with pricing power should be well positioned, in either wave scenario following through the election. So, should we see a red wave, companies with pricing power would be, in our view, better able to pass on any increased costs from something like increased tariff, or should we see continued tensions with China. That said, in a blue wave scenario, pricing power standouts list could help provide some relative benefit just from their sector allocation. The list is underweight energy and traditional financials. So again, I'll keep these two brief, but for more on implementation, positioning and on these lists, I'd recommend taking a look at the full reports. There's really a number of potential outcomes here, as we've discussed, even outside of the blue or red wave scenarios. I know David talked a little bit about the divided government as well. So you can find more on all of that, all of we discussed this morning in our Election Watch series.
Well, Michelle and David, great catching up with you both this morning, and thank you for joining the Top of the Morning podcast to discuss the implications of various Decision 2020 outcome scenarios to risk assets as well as longer-term investment themes. So appreciate the time and insight today.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
Yep, absolutely. And again, we have been joined today by David Lefkowitz. Again, David is the head of equities for the Americas, as well as Michelle LaLiberty, thematic investing associate for the Americas, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Before we close out, I do want to point out, as always, many publications available for you now up on UBS Online Services, and that does include the publication that Michelle and David have been making reference to this morning, the latest edition of the ongoing Election Watch publication series, and the title is Preparing Portfolios for November. So for UBS clients, please reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the Election Watch publication directly, as well as if you would like to learn more about the correlating stock lists that David and Michelle made reference to. I want to point out as well that additional information and resources related to the Election Watch publication series can also be located on the dedicated website, ubs.com/Election Watch. Top of the Morning will be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone. Timeframes may vary. Strategies are subject to individual client goals, objectives, and suitability. This approach is not a promise or guarantee that wealth or any financial results can or will be achieved.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.